You are listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast. Today, we're joined by Reverend Hodges from the Tabernacle Baptist Church. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you today.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on today. I know that you're going to have a lot of great information about the history and culture of Beaufort, so we're happy to have you and have this conversation.
Good to be here.
Awesome. Well, why don't you introduce yourself and then tell us a little bit about the Tabernacle Baptist Church and its history.
Okay, I'm Reverend Kenneth Hodges, and I'm serving as the pastor of the historic Tabernacle Baptist Church in Beaufort. I've been the pastor for approximately 25 years. I'm a native of this region, but on the other side of the river, so in a sense, I'm coming back to my roots. The Tabernacle Baptist Church is a very unique church, a very historic church. The Baptist Church of Beaufort, the traditional white Baptist church, was established in Beaufort in 1804. And shortly after it was established, there was basically a congregational split, and the going party went right around the corner and built an additional structure. The church reconciled after a couple of years and left the building that they constructed in about 1811. So that's about how far back the Tabernacle goes as an actual building. After the going party reconciled with the congregation right around the corner at the Baptist Church of Beaufort, they continued to use the structure where the Tabernacle is as a lecture hall for the enslaved persons, because at that time, the enslaved persons also worshiped at the Baptist Church in Beaufort.
Right.
So that structure existed there from about 1811.
Very nice. Thank you so much for going over that with us. I think that was some great context and history for everyone listening. So you mentioned that the church was established in 1804, so it's definitely around in the Civil War. What was its history during that time period?
During the Civil War, once the Civil War began, the Union forces occupied Beaufort in November of 1861. At that time, all whites fled Beaufort. So that meant that the formerly enslaved blacks continued to worship in the building that was the Tabernacle. It was there where they continued to rally together into the Civil War. You have to imagine how Beaufort was during the Civil War. When the federal troops occupied Beaufort in 1861, that meant that all of the enslaved persons on many of the surrounding islands were abruptly freed. Almost
right.
10,000 newly freed persons assembled in Beaufort. So as a result of that, many Northerners came to Beaufort during the Civil War with the attempt of helping to educate the newly freed persons. And it was that environment that the Tabernacle Baptist Church was organized. It has a unique history. When we know of the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, where many of the newly freed persons assembled at the Smith Plantation in the Beaufort area, the Tabernacle congregation assembled in the Tabernacle Church. And while they assembled there, they drafted a resolution to the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. And the proclamation actually thanked him for liberating the enslaved persons. And along with that proclamation was also sent a letter from the first pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, the Reverend Solomon Peck. That's an interesting document. It showed them in existence in 1863, and that document is a part of the Abraham Lincoln papers. So Tabernacle has a unique role even during the Civil War.
That's incredible. I love that. I feel like every time I jump on this podcast and talk to people like you and some other guests that we've had on, I've learned so much more each time about just how impactful Beaufort was during the Civil War. And it's incredible. And just the Baptist Church alone, like, that's an incredible location in history to have right there.
Very much so, yes.
That's awesome. And then nearby, you also have the Robert Smalls gravesite, don't you, right next to the church?
Right, yeah. Robert Smalls is actually buried on the campus of the Tabernacle Baptist Church. Robert Smalls is a unique person. We know him as the first hero of the Civil War. But Robert Smalls was born in Beaufort, several blocks away from the Tabernacle Baptist Church. But when he was 12 years old, Robert Smalls was hired out to Charleston by his owners. And there he worked almost as an indentured servant. And he found himself working on the steamship Planter. The Planter was used as a Confederate boat during the Civil War. And Robert Smalls was working on that vessel. He developed a plan to capture the Planter. He was about 22 years old at that time, but he developed a plan to actually capture the Planter, a daring escape where he organized it with his family and several other men. And when the timing was right, they stole away the freedom from the docks in Charleston Harbor. They came past the fortification. He gave a specific command and passed the forts and turned the Planter over to the Union forces. He came back to Beaufort and became a renowned hero. Stories about that daring capture of the Planter was spread all over the country. And Robert Smalls, then he went on and he became a member of the South Carolina House of Representatives. He served in the South Carolina Senate, and he also served 5 terms in Congress. So he made tremendous contributions to this area. When he died in 1915, he was buried at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, where his grave is still there, along with both of his wives who preceded him in death, and then one of his daughters. And the monument, the bust of Robert Smalls, was installed on the grounds of Tabernacle Baptist Church in 1976. People come from all over the country and the world to look at the Robert Smalls monument and to read the inscription that's on that monument. Can you imagine? Robert Smalls said back in 1895, he stated, "My race needs no special defense, for the past history of them in this country proves them to be equal to any people anywhere. All they need is an equal chance in the battle of life." He said that then, and certainly his word still holds true to today. His gravesite is now a part of the National Park Service Underground Network to Freedom program, one of the several hundred sites around the country that depicts the struggles that enslaved persons endured and their quest for freedom. It's a national monument.
Yeah, it's incredible. I've been there and I love it. It's beautiful. And it feels like hallowed ground when you're there visiting by his like gravesite and the bust and just seeing his words and knowing what an incredibly brave person he was. Like, I think about when I was 22, I don't think that I would have been brave enough to do that.
Definitely.
Right. So I love it there. And I love his story. I think more people should hear it and know it because he definitely had a massive impact. And, you know, Beaufort's local hero.
Definitely, yeah. A lot of people keep saying that, you know, he deserves a movie. And certainly I know at some point someone will produce a movie about the life and contributions of Robert Smalls. The more people learn about him, the more they're fascinated by his story.
Yeah, it will be a phenomenal movie too when that happens. They got to get the perfect actor for him though.
Definitely. Know?
Amazing. So I know he's one amazing historical figure that we've had come out of Beaufort, but I know another one that I think is really cool to talk about that she's made her way through is Harriet Tubman. Do you want to kind of talk on her impact and as well as the monument that's going to be put up on the other side of the church?
Right. Harriet Tubman came to Beaufort in the spring of 1862. As I mentioned earlier, at that time, many Northerners came to aid the newly freed persons, many educators, missionaries. Harriet Tubman was not an educator or missionary, but Harriet Tubman had some skills that the governor of Massachusetts, Governor Andrews of Massachusetts, was familiar with Harriet Tubman's role with John Brown and her role in the Underground Railroad. And so Governor Andrews recommended Harriet Tubman to the Union forces that was in Beaufort. And he told them that he believed that Harriet Tubman could be of great contribution. So Harriet Tubman came to Beaufort in the spring of 1862 when the other missionaries came. And while she was here, she served in many capacities. She said initially she was working in a house where they distributed supplies to the Union troops, but also distributed supplies to some of the newly freed enslaved persons. While she was in Beaufort, Harriet Tubman also worked as a nurse. She would go into the hospitals, and she said that she would work from morning to evening, and she describes in detail how the conditions were, how flies was always around the bodies, and how as soon as they put water in a basin, the next thing you look, it was blood red. So she described it in full detail. So she worked as a nurse, but she also opened up a washer house. She wanted to aid the newly freed women so that they could become self-sufficient. So she opened a wash house so that they could provide services to the Union forces. And she also opened up an eating house so that the newly freed women could also offer that service to the Union forces as well. While she was here, she developed a network of spies and scouts. She recruited several scouts, and she was able to glean a lot of information as those newly freed persons came in from various plantations into Beaufort. So Harriet Tubman worked closely with Colonel Montgomery and the Union forces in Beaufort. She developed and implemented a plan, a strategy, based upon the information that she had gleaned from those newly freed persons on some of the plantations that were further upriver that had not been liberated yet. So she developed a plan wherein in 1863, on June the 1st, three gunboats left the docks right in Beaufort under the cover of darkness and headed up the Beaufort River, then into the Coosaw River, the St. Helena Sound, and up what is called the Cumbie River. And there they went ashore along with about 300 colored troops. And that night into the next day, they destroyed many of those plantations and liberated over 750 enslaved persons. They came back to the vessels and then returned to Beaufort on the day of the 3rd. And they assembled in the structure where the blacks were worshiping in, which is known as the tabernacle. And there they were addressed by Harriet Tubman and several of the other officers. And some of those persons was housed there in the building until they were able to be placed other places. It was also a major endeavor to recruit soldiers. Harriet Tubman said she took a number of them to the recruiter's office personally. And so Harry Tubman's role in Beaufort during the Civil War was really, really quite a feat.
She was an incredible, another incredible person that has also touched Beaufort. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the monument that you guys are working on getting erected for her as well to honor her?
Right. And the Tabernacle Baptist Church launched an initiative in 2016 to construct a monument to honor Harriet Tubman for her contributions to the Beaufort area during the Civil War and to recognize her. I mean, this is where she spent her entire Civil War in Beaufort. So what we did, we reached out to a world-renowned sculptor, Ed Dwight, to see whether or not he could design a monument appropriately to honor Harriet Tubman. Ed Dwight is a world-renowned sculptor, as I mentioned. He had done over 100 monuments. He did the major monument on the State House grounds in Columbia on the African-American experience. So we shared the idea with Ed Dwight, and Ed Dwight designed the monument. And in 2016, we launched the initiative and started raising funds to construct the Harriet Tubman Monument in Beaufort. We are well along the way, still raising funds. The contributions are still coming in. And we wanted to do it from the private sector. And we set it up so that anyone could be a part of it. We had various contribution levels that we named after those very rivers around the Beaufort area. We had one level we called the Port Royal Sound Circle, where a person could make a contribution from $1 to $499. And then the Coosaw River Circle, where persons could make contributions from $500 to $999. And then the St. Helena Sound Circle, contributions of $1,000 to $4,999. The Beaufort River Circle, from $5,000 to $9,999. And then the Cumbie River Circle, where persons contributed over $10,000, would be a part of that monument. And all contributions over $1,000, we would place their names on the back of the monument. It is well on the way. As I said, we have the actual maquette, the model, and the sculptor is working on the enlargement of that now. And once that has been completed, we would set a date to bring the monument into Beaufort and dedicate it as the Harriet Tubman Monument in Beaufort. And a lot of people all over the world are beginning to follow the various sites associated with Harriet Tubman. And we know that with the history of Beaufort and the Reconstruction and all of the contributions that Harriet made here, that they too will be coming to Beaufort to observe that as well.
I love that. It's beautiful. And I love how people have been able to contribute to it. I have seen pictures of what it's supposed to look like, and I'm really, really excited for her to be installed and to become a more permanent feature there. So that's really awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Certainly. We're so excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners about the Baptist Church, about your experience in Beaufort or any of the other monuments? Just any last words?
I'm just, you know, we're just excited about being a part of this this Beaufort experience, and we're certainly excited about the unique role that Tabernacle has played as a church. Certainly, that makes a major contribution to the whole story of the Black church in America. Tabernacle, like I said, was organized prior to 1863. Many of the Black churches was established long after that. Many of them was established after the Civil War. So this church tells a unique story of a congregation that, because of the intervention of the Union forces in Beaufort, were able to emerge out of that dark phase of history and to make great contributions. They continue to serve this community, has a rich history, and certainly this is just a unique time to be in Beaufort and in South Carolina. And one of the things that we notice, even on our website and on our Facebook page, is that people are always saying that, hey, I must visit Beaufort, South Carolina.
Good. We love that. Speaking of your pages, would you mind sharing them so anyone that's listening can find you?
Okay. On we do have the Tabernacle, the Harriet Tubman website is www.harriettubmanmonument.com. That's the harriettubmanmonument.com. And then our Facebook page is Facebook at HT Monument. Facebook at HT Monument. And then the Tabernacle Baptist Church website is www.tabernacle1863.com. Tabernacle1863.com. And then our Facebook page is Facebook at TBC Beaufort. That's Facebook at TBC Beaufort. And certainly we look forward to sharing any information that we can in greater detail with anyone who contacts us.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I've loved getting to talk to you today and to hear about your experience down in Beaufort, and your knowledge was beautiful. I love that you shared so much with us. And everyone, be sure to go check out those websites and follow them on Facebook. You can learn so much more. We just scratched the surface here. And also, next time you're in Beaufort, be sure to visit Reverend Hodges and the Baptist Church. It's beautiful. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave a review and subscribe and follow. We'll talk to you next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Natasha Lai, produced by Relic.